2 Chronicles chapter 7. So Genesis, stick right there for a little while, amen. Israel, in the Old Testament, God gave us a... He gave the oracles to the Jews, and He gave us the oracles that He gave the Jews as a church to learn some stuff about Him and to learn some stuff about us. And if you study Israel, you want to know who you are, look at Israel in the Old Testament. And you want to know who He is, look at the fact that in the Old Testament we were dogs, Gentiles, we were nothing, we're not even a people. God considered us like the animals almost. Matter of fact, He called us dogs. And yet Jesus Christ died for you, died for me. But as we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse number 12, we'll try to get into the message, but we'll pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love You and thank You again for the opportunity. Thank You for Your Word, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your Word, this Bible. Please, Lord, bless and breathe on the message. Help us and change us for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read just a few verses here, and then we'll get into the message by the grace of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And before we do read the verses, I want to set the stage here. Solomon is king, and Israel is pretty much like us, in and out of God's will, and struggling, and going the wrong direction a lot of times. And Solomon prayed this prayer in chapter 6 as he's dedicating the house of the Lord. He's praying for God to forgive the people. He's praying for God's mercy. And he does it for different reasons. If a man sins against his neighbor, and then if the nation sins and his people... going against him, he goes against people. Go against God. That if they come back to you, will you forgive them? Basically, what he's asking the Lord. And in verse number 12, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, is where we're at. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The first thing I want to talk about as we get into these verses is the people. And the people Israel, we had talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. It's amazing how the Lord works this stuff out. But we talked about a little bit about this in Sunday school, about how the people would be richly blessed of God, and then they would forget God and worship the blessings. And that's what Israel did over and over and over again. They'd be in a bind. They'd call out to God. They'd get right for a little while, and then God would bless them. And as the blessings flowed in, and their flesh was beginning to live comfortably, and they had all the carnal needs, they began to worship the carnal things instead of the Creator. And that's the United States of America today, by the way. You say, well, that's terrible. It's Joe Biden. It's Donald Trump. No, it's us. It's us because God has dumped the blessings out. Every one of us today, I'm assuming every one of you today could go home and flip a light switch and a light would come on. Amen? I'm assuming after that, you go to the refrigerator and there'd be probably light won't come on. Ours always burn out. It's because we open the door constantly. Amen? Baptists, we're getting into that food. But there's food in there. Amen? It might be a moldy ketchup and some green hot dogs, but there's food in there, amen? There's food in there that somebody in a third world country would love to have, even though you're bright, or you throw it out because you're sick of it, amen? We're blessed. We are spoiled heavy on the rotten, amen? But that's what Israel do. They would get in a bind. They'd get out of God's will. They'd cry out to God through His mercy and grace. He would not only bless them, but He would bless them like they could never imagine, abundantly bless them. And then the blessings, as they flowed in, they would draw away from God to the blessings. They worship the things that God had given them. And that's where we are in the United States of America, worship the things that God has been able to bless us with and been so merciful and gracious with to bless us with in this country. And a lot of times the blessings can become a curse. I mean, when you start worshiping the blessings, it's becoming a curse. But that's the people. The people were out of God's will, in God's will, out of God's will, in God's will. And that's where they're at. And that's where Solomon comes along. And then we see the prayer. In verse number 12 it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." Man, how about that? I know what he's talking about here. I know that, you know, this is a church. We call it the church house, but this isn't really the church house. This is a building. You're the church house. If you're saved, God lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're the temple of God. You are the church house. And we get together, that's a church meeting. When two or three are gathered in his name, that's a church meeting. This building really doesn't mean anything. And hold on, bear with me, but the Gateway Baptist Church name really doesn't mean anything. I understand the tradition of it. I understand the things that have gone on here. I understand all that. But if you start worshiping the name or worshiping the building and all that stuff, you become Catholic. Amen. You become ritualistic. You become where you're going through a tradition. And it's not about the name Gateway. It's not about the name Baptist. It's not about the building or the pews. And thank God for the building. Thank God for the padded pews and all that stuff. Amen. But it's about Jesus Christ. And it's about the fact that God indwells you. And when you come in, hey, if nobody's in this building, there's nothing happening here. Unless you're here by yourself. Let me tell you, don't be here at night, because the church building is not a place you want to be at night by yourself. I don't know why, but the devil just hangs out there. And bats and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I'm just telling you, the church is not the building. You are the church. So the condition of the church, there's water in the basement. There's a leak over here. The air conditioner don't work. Well, it works, but if you ever shut it off, it may never come on again. You know, we've got this problem, we've got that problem, we've got the other problem. Hey, this is just a building. Amen. But oh, that God would meet with us here. See, the reason a building becomes special is because people come in wanting something from God and they get it here. You can get something from God here like you can't get it at Kroger. Or you can't get it at Walmart. Praise God. Or you can't get it anywhere else. If this is where God wants you, if this is where God has landed you to be your church and to be your church home, be your church family, if this is where God decided he wants this part of his body to line up with that part of the body, and you come here, you can get something here you can't get anywhere else. Amen. And just by mistake, you're going to get something here you won't get most places, because we believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. And we believe the Bible. Amen. You're going to get something here from God. But Solomon's praying, Lord, if you'll meet with us in this place. And you know what God said? I've chosen that place. Forget the name. Forget the building. But if God would choose this place where this group of people are this morning to show up and just work us over, just change us for his honor and his glory. We could walk out of here knowing that we're in the will of God, knowing that when we pillow our head tonight, first of all, if you're lost and on your way to hell, you could know tonight salvation is yours by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. We're all sinners. That Bible says, for all sin come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for whoever becomes a Baptist, or whoever gets wet, or whoever gets dunked, or whoever gets sprinkled, or whoever becomes kiss the Pope's ring, or whoever gives the pastor $5. And I don't need $5. I need six. No, I'm just kidding. I don't need anything. Lord, take care of everything. I ain't worried about it. You know, I ain't worried about that stuff. But it ain't talking about that stuff. It's not talking about joining the Methodist, joining the Lutheran, joining this. It's talking about joining up with Jesus Christ and letting him indwell you, and you indwell him, and him being at the right hand of God the Father. It's talking about the fact that, hey, look, lost people go to hell. I don't care if people believe it anymore or not. You can't explain it away. You can't pretend it away. You can't grammatically change it away through the Hebrew or the Greek. You can't do that, because heaven is real, hell is real, and Jesus Christ is the determining factor, is what you do with him. I mean, you can go to church every day of your life. You can belong to every church. You can be on the church roll. You can get in everybody's water. You can get in the holy water, amen, where the special preacher has to dunk you. You can't get there. You can do all that stuff and split hell wide open. Or you can call out to Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm trusting you. Forgive me and save me, and make it personal. If it's not personal, you're not going. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, not the Pope, not the Baptist preacher, not the Methodist preacher, not the Lutheran preacher. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everybody that goes to heaven, this church egg goes through the blood of Jesus Christ, or they don't go. It's that simple. I get tired of listening to all these people call themselves preachers, call themselves pastors. They want to say, well, there is no hell. God's a loving God, and I think we're all going to make it. You're only going to make it if you make it by trusting the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You're not going to get to God and stand at his throne and say, well, I did it my way, and I think my way is acceptable. God's going to say, I gave you the way. You chose another way, so depart from me into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. You know what everlasting means? The same thing it meant 100 years ago. It means it lasts forever. You can either have everlasting fire where you burn forever and you're not consumed, I'm talking about your soul, in torment, or you can have everlasting life. You know what both of them are? Permanent. You trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're saved. Until He calls you out here, you're going to finish that salvation, you're saved forever. Everlasting is permanent, both directions. You could go to hell permanently, or you can go to heaven permanently. Amen? Hey, when I got saved, I got everlasting life. I didn't get temporary life. You know why God didn't give me temporary life? He knew I'd lose it. You know why God didn't say, get some bulls and goats out here and shed their blood and good luck? Because I couldn't make it. He said, I'm going to give my blood. And my blood is the perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement. And because of His blood, I have eternal life. I have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I got saved, I got everlasting life. You know how long an everlasting life lasts? Forever. Amen? But you've got the people. The people have a problem. You know, we've got a problem. That's why God gave us a Bible, so He could try to fix our problems. We could fix our problems through the Word of God. We could allow Him to work us over with that thing. The people had a problem. Solomon had a prayer. And that prayer was that God would accept the people and that God would meet with them. God, he said, Lord, if they turn to You with their heart, if they turn to You and cry out to You, not only will You forgive them, will You meet with us here. Wouldn't it be great if He met with us here every day? Every time we're here? God just showed up and met with us. I mean, we can come together, we can fellowship, we can talk about chicken. Me and Bill like to talk about chicken. We can talk about that stuff, have a good time. But boy, if God doesn't show up, the Holy Spirit of God don't stir your heart and change your heart and change your mind about some things, you wasted your time. So that preacher, well, I don't know about the preacher. I prayed before I got here, did you? I'm just saying, I have to pray because I got to get up here and try to get a hold of God and let Him get a hold of me so He can get a hold of you. But you can choose to pray. And if you come to church over and over and over again, you're not getting something. Maybe you have not because you ask not. Amen. If you're a child of God, He wants to give you something. But wouldn't it be great if He showed up here and just gave us something every time we come in here? Amen. That's why we don't come in here and just say, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting and a fellowship dinner. We're going to have some Bible because God meets and talks with you through that Bible. And it's an amazing book. And Solomon, realizing the people, because he was one, by the way, he sent up this prayer. And then we see God talking about the punishment. Look at verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. See the punishment there? You know what man's trying to do? Man's trying to get away from the punishment. Man's trying to say, we'll pretend like there is no God. We'll pretend like the Bible's a fairy tale. We'll pretend like there is no hell. We'll pretend like we're our own authority. We'll pretend like we can save the earth. And we're going to tell you what you have to do to help us save the earth. And of course, we won't do it, but you're going to have to do it. You got to get a solar panel, an electric car. We're going to fly around in jets, and you know we're going to use all the electric. We've got our own power station for our house, amen? All that stuff. They won't do it, but they're going to try to pretend like they can tell you how to do the religious stuff to worship them, amen, because they could be your God if you just do what they tell you to do. And all that stuff, and you get all that stuff going, and that's where the United States of America is. They're trying to get all this stuff going. They're trying to, you know, well, I don't care what I do because God can't punish me. He can't take my bread because I've got bread that'll last 6 months on the shelf. I've got my own bread maker. But what if God takes your water? Oh, boy, then you're in it then. No water, no bread. Amen. Before long, you're dead. That's the way it goes with water. I mean, you can get away without having bread for a couple months even. You can get away without having water. But he's talking about these plagues, and they say, well, man, we'll make the crops insect resistant. We'll just, Monsanto's the devil, by the way, but Monsanto, we'll just create all this stuff, and we'll make these crops so, boy, they can take any weather, and they can take any, boy, they can take a drought, they can survive the worm, they can survive this, they can survive mold, they can survive that. They can take the weeds, and they're like they're going to outdo God. And God says, okay, I'll just stop the rain. How about that? But see, that's what man's doing. They're trying to prevent God from punishing them. And they don't realize God gave them all the blessings to start with. He wants to bless you. He really does. He wants you to be right with Him so you can be blessed. He don't want to destroy this country, but He's going to have to. Amen. I know it upsets people. I know Baptist preachers all over the world, if they heard this, oh, no, He's going to use this country for good. He's going to destroy this place one of these days. How do I know? I read the Bible. One of these days, this whole earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. That Bible's not about the United States of America. And I love this country. Thank God I'm born here. But that Bible is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and Jerusalem. It's about a throne in a place that most of us have never been. Amen? If you're saved, you'll be there one day. You're going to come back with Him. Battle of Armageddon. whip the beast, the false prophet, cast him in the lake of fire. Won't that be good? Take over the mess that the devil made, and Jesus Christ straightened it out for 1,000 years, and men still won't have it. But you got the people. You got the prayer. Solomon sent up the prayer. I pray for you guys. I pray for this church. I pray for y'all. I pray for y'all every day, and I pray for this church on a regular basis that God would just do something miraculous here. So I don't see people walking the aisles all the time. Well, first of all, you got to get them in here, amen. They're not just going to walk in off the street usually. They do occasionally. But God does a miracle. If you get closer to God, that's a miracle. Especially in the world we live in. Amen? But the people, the prayer, the punishment, look at the promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see that thing? The promise? He will. He says he will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He's giving them a promise. Solomon says, look, if the people turn their heart back to you, will you forgive them? And he says, I will. But then we see the provisional blessing. You know what the provisional blessing is? If they, A, let's read it again. If my people, which are called by my name, I know this is talking about Israel, but you're his people, you're his child. You know what you're called? If you're walking like Jesus Christ, you're called by his name. You're called Christian. So we can spiritually apply this. There's no problem with that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now look what it said. Humble themselves and pray. Now I know we got the name it and claim it crowd out there, where they just tell Jesus what to do. On the name of Jesus, I want a Ferrari. And they do all that silly stuff, you know. In the name of Jesus, I want $1 million and, you know, all this stuff. And God told me that if I didn't have $60 million, he's going to take me. All that junk that's going on out there and has been going out there for years and years. All that name it and claim it stuff. And they tell God what to do. I'm his child. And he has to do what I tell him to do. That's not the way it works. If that's the way it works at your house with your kids, shame on you, man. That's the way it is. Your kid shouldn't be telling you what to do. Amen. You know what God's kids shouldn't be doing? Telling him what to do. You know what that word sovereign means? That means God makes his own mind up. Amen. He decides to do what he wants to do, and if he does it, it's right. Amen. But there's that crowd out there that just say, well, I pray and God has to answer me because I'm his child. You know what it says? Humble themselves and pray. I mean, honestly, the majority of my prayers are, Lord, I'm just dirt. I'm a worm. I'm worm food waiting to happen. I got nothing to offer, but Lord, if you'd use me. Amen? I mean, honestly, what do we have to offer God? I've heard preachers preach it, you know, God needs us. Oh, he doesn't need you. He'd love to use you, but he doesn't need you. I mean, if you go AWOL and you never do anything for God, it's not going to change his plan one bit. It's not going to mess things up. He's not going to get the end chewing on his fingernails wondering how he's going to work things out. He doesn't need us. He wants us. We need him. We need him. What do we need him for? To get out of bed in the morning. To get going in the morning. So we can get a hold of him in the morning and pray that we walk a straight line for him. I want to be in your will today, Lord. Amen. We need him. And all the way through when you start, you know, you're going down that narrow way during the day, the right way, and then you start getting off that, we need him to bump us in the right direction. Amen. Like a pinball machine, keep us headed the right direction. Amen. I think if Baptists did things right for a week, God would tilt. Amen. Like a pinball machine. Amen. He'd say, good night, what happened there? But that's the thing, we need him. He said, humble themselves and pray. So what kind of a prayer do you think God honors? Well, Lord, I'm up today, and I'm me, and you know who I am. I think because I'm me that you ought to do something special for me. Or do you think he honors, Lord, I don't know what I could do to help you, but if you could use me, I'm here. Here I am, send me. Send me to the lost person at Walmart. Send me to the lost person at Kroger. Send me to the lost neighbor. Send me where you want me to go, Lord. Guide my steps. Guide my lips. Guide my thoughts. Guide my heart. Guide my actions. Guide my reactions. Guide my day so when I get to the end of the day, you're happy with me. Humble thyself and pray. Not all this baloney about telling God what to do. But look what else it says. And seek my face. I know y'all are sitting over there. I'm going to come down this way anyway. I get tired of going in the other way. Seek my face. You know what seek my face really means? Now, I understand. I have no problem with saying looking into the Word of God. You're going to find God. You're going to find him in that book. He's going to find you in that book, hopefully, when you're looking for him. But when you're seeking God's face, You're looking for Him to look at you and say, well pleased. I'm well pleased with you. You're looking for Him to be glorified. When you're seeking God's face, you're not seeking to please man. You're seeking to please Him. You're seeking to be, I'd like to be able to stand face to face to you, Lord, and you be able to say, I am pleased with what you've done. You have honored and glorified me. So He says, if they'll humble themselves and pray, and they'll glorify me and seek to glorify me. Isn't that something? You know, this country used to seek to glorify Him. You know why they did? Because church houses were full of people that used to seek to glorify Him. That's gone. That's gone for the most part. Because it's all about the blessing instead of the blesser. And it shouldn't be that way. So this provisional blessing, He says, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and here we go. And turn from their wicked ways. Then, He says, will I hear from heaven. You realize what He's just saying? He's saying if you've got a bunch of people out there that are giving lip service to pray through prayer, and they haven't humbled themselves, and they haven't turned from their wicked ways. I'm not talking about getting to heaven. I'm talking about being right with God and Him blessing the country. I'm talking about being right with God and Him blessing an individual. If they won't turn from their wicked ways, He's not going to hear them. You say, well, if Trump just gets in. Well, you know what? Trump needs some help. Amen. That guy needs to zip it and praise God. He should open it to praise God and quit all the junk and let God take care of the rest. Amen. Well, Biden, you know what? 2/3 of our politicians or more are lost and on their way to hell anyway. God's not going to hear that mess. They're living, they're doing what they want to do, going through their tradition and trying to satisfy their religion and all this stuff. And really, they're just trying to feed their belly. They don't care about anything else. They're not going to cry out to God. And if they do, He's not going to hear them. Why? Because they won't turn from their wicked ways. You know what they'd do if they really were saved and they really wanted to get a hold of God? You know what they'd do? They would start making laws that match up with that book instead of trying to punish people that match up with that book and trying to get rid of people that match up with that book. Because this country's going to be toast if we don't match up with that book. This country's in trouble, and it ain't going to get any better until people start lining up with the Word of God. But he's not going to hear that mess. You think Joe Biden's going to go out there? Well, Joe Biden don't know where he's at. You think God give him 4 neurons that fired at the same time, amen? And he got out there and prayed, and he said, Lord, help this country. I don't think he'd do it. But if he did it, do you think God would honor that prayer? Or do you think maybe if Joe Biden got right with God and started leading by the Bible and stood by the way that his handlers are blowing the wind? Do you think maybe if Donald Trump got up there and said, Lord, I'm nothing. That's humorous, isn't it? You guys laughing because ain't no way Donald Trump. I'm nothing. Hey, you, Lord, look at me. But you think if Donald Trump got up there and said, Lord, you ought to heal this country. You ought to do it in a huge way. You think that would obligate God to do that? Oh, you want to obligate God to do something? You know what you want to do? You want to go to Him and humbly pray, seeking His face, meaning you're doing it for His honor and His glory, not for your own good. And that you turn from your wicked ways. Amen. I'm not talking about why you don't have a Maserati in your garage. I'll tell you why. Because God blessed you with not having a Maserati in your garage. If you had that thing, you'd have to pay insurance on it. You'd have to feed that thing, and it'd break down, and it'd break you. Amen. So God gives you what you can handle. Amen. Sometimes more than you think you can handle, and sometimes more than you can handle, and you got to trust Him to handle it. But the thing is, these politicians are not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. We got some folks up there that are probably saved. I believe Tim Scott's saved. I believe what's the other one? Good night, Ted Cruz. I believe he's probably saved. I believe the guy's saved. I think he's all goofed up, but I think he's saved. I think I've heard his testimony. I believe there are some other folks up there that are saved. But you know what? They might not probably ever humble themselves. Well, you know, Lord, I'm a senator. I'm a congressman. I'm this. I'm that. And you know, this country, this great nation, you know, that we talk about, that I run on, and you know, the God that I run on. I don't think they ever get up there. I wonder, do any of them ever get up there and say, Lord, you know what? Hey, I'm hurt. I'm in trouble. I need you to Because you know what? There's no difference in their relationship with God than yours. It has to be the same way. It has to be to humble themselves and pray. Just because they've got a position you don't have, don't mean they're any different when it comes to their relationship with God. They've got to humble themselves and pray. Seek His face. You know what most of them, I believe the saved ones, they start out wanting to pray and be humble and seek His face. And the next thing you know, they're out there talking filthy and making deals and compromising, and they're nothing but a filthy politician. That it's saved and on their way to heaven most of the time. If they say they're saved, they're saved on their way to heaven, but they're living like the devil. Come on. They are. So do a lot of church folks. They do the same thing. Amen. Say, well, yeah, if we just humble ourselves and pray, because you have these prayer meetings. They get these prayer meetings. You know, we'll have prayer day in Washington. What a joke. What a misnomer. What a silly thing. I'm going to go to the filthiest place in the world, and we're going to get everybody together that believes 105 different things, and nobody's trusting Christ, maybe half of them or less. And we're all going to pray together, because we're all together and we're all praying. But first of all, some of them praying to the wrong God. Probably over half of them praying to the wrong God. Some of them praying to the right God, but they're lost. Amen? And you got this big conglomeration of kumbaya, ecumenicalism, junk, and you get the... You know, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons. You got the Muslims out there. Of course, they're probably leading the prayer, you know. And you got the woman Muslim up there leading the prayer. You got the prayer rug out. You know, you got the Baptist down there, some goofy Baptist down there on a prayer rug with the Muslim, amen, praying to Allah, which is the devil anyway. He ain't the God of that Bible, you know. And they get all this stuff together and say, well, we just pray. How about going to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and realize if you humble yourself, of course, if you got to be called by His name. If you're saved today, you're His. Call by His name, humble themselves and pray, and seek His face. How many faces does God have? Think about it. Is it Allah? Is it the Pope? Is it Buddha? Is it Muhammad? No, it's the God of Genesis 1:1, the God of John 1:1, Jesus Christ and the Father. So if they humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. How many people do you think went to Washington that got right with God first? Well, they go out there and they're screaming and happy and they're going to have a big flesh fest and they're going to pray. And probably two-thirds of them are living like the devil. Just living in sin. They don't have any idea what it even means to be right with God, let alone want to be right with God. I'm not talking about just lost people. Saved people live like that too. And turn from their wicked ways. I believe this. I do not believe that God's going to turn this country around, because I don't think the country's going to allow it. But He could. And He would. And I believe, honestly, you could obligate Him to do it. That sounds funny after what I just said, but think about it. If this country, if the leaders would all get saved and humble themselves and pray and seek His face, that means want to live and do make decisions for His honor and His glory, and turn from their wicked ways, man, God would almost be obligated, wouldn't He? He gave the recipe for it. You ever make, y'all ladies make cookies and stuff? Y'all got the complicated recipe. I got the three ingredient recipe. Cookies are good, man. Peanut butter cookies, the only real cookie there is. The other cookies, they're fake. They're not even real. That chocolate chips are to hide the fact you can't cook. Amen? Peanut butter is a cookie. Amen? You got peanut butter, you got sugar, you got an egg, you got heat, you got cookies. Amen? But you can't leave out the ingredients. You got to have those three things minimum. You know what God said? I'm going to give you some things minimum you need to do to get right with me and get me to answer your prayer. Isn't that something? Humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, God will. Pray. In humility, go to God asking Him to be a blessing to you and help you. Seek His face. I'm going to do it for your honor and your glory, Lord. I'm not going to do it for votes. I'm not going to do it to please anybody but You, Lord. And I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I just want to do right. I just want to get this sin behind me. I'm going to put it under the blood. And I'm not talking about never sinning again. I'm talking about not having a lifestyle of wickedness and going to God and trying to demand Him to do that. Because that's where we're at in the United States of America. And it's not just the politicians. It's the people in the pews. And that's the truth. That's the whole truth. Amen. Because this world is such a mess that saved people don't know how good that they are anymore. comparing themselves among themselves are not wise, we can look over and we can say, well, I'm not like the Methodists, I'm not like the Mormons, I'm not like the Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm not like that person, I'm not like that person, I'm not like all those people, I'm not like all those other people, I'm a child of God. Well, then live like it. Amen? Take that sin that you're hanging on to, that you've been hanging on to so long that it's grown roots, and lay it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus Christ on this. I can't deal with this. I don't want it anymore. I want to please you. I want to seek your face. I want to live to your glory, not the glory of my flesh. Because if you're stuck in a sin and you don't want out of it because you don't want out of it. Amen. You don't want out of it. I deal with the guys all the time with the backpacks and all that stuff, and we can feel sorry for them. We can pray for them, and I do. But they don't get out of it because they don't want out of it. That's the truth. They have messed with it so long, and they are so hooked on the feelings and the garbage and the chemical changes that they get from their high, that they don't want to lose that, and they won't trade that in for a walk with Jesus Christ. Sometimes they do. Say, well, no, they can't help it. No, they can help it, because sometimes they do. They make a decision to do what's right, and they get the Bible poured in them, and the Holy Spirit of God changes them, and they allow it. But you know what they do? They come to God humbly, and they pray, and they seek His face, and they turn from their sin. I'm not saying they don't get back into it sometimes, because that happens. It happens to everybody. I mean, you'll get rid of something, and then the Lord, He'll bless you, and you'll be going down the road, and the devil will offer it back up, just like we talked about in Sunday school. The devil will say, well, look at this. Isn't that good? Pleasant to the eyes. Isn't that something? Oh, it'd be good for the flesh, too. And it would be to make one wise, and the devil will offer that thing up, and you could slip back into that mess. But when you slip, it's not really a slip like that. It's the devil's knocking on the door and you decide to open it. But most of those folks and most people, when they get sinning and they're getting away with it, getting away with it, getting away with it, getting away with it, getting away with it in their mind, because there's no immediate punishment, they just keep doing it. But they keep going back to God like He has to bless them in any state. That's not the case. If you're saved, He's given you an eternal blessing and eternal life. But the other stuff is dependent on your walk. Amen. I know God, He spoils us. Sometimes He gives us stuff we don't deserve. But He's not just going to give you everything when you're living like hell. Amen. That's a Bible word, by the way, even though they're trying to get rid of it. Hell's a Bible word. So yeah, the preacher cussed. He said a Bible word. Hang on. The devil keep working us over. It may get worse. No, but I mean, you can't live like hell and expect God to make your life like that. Amen. And you can't expect if God does bless and you do go humbly and you do seek His face and you're praying and you're turning from your sin, you can't expect everything to be roses and lollipops after that. But you can't expect this, God to answer your prayers and help you through anything. Amen. But the secret is in the ingredients. Man, that's a good cookie. No. It's because of the ingredients. Humble himself, pray, seek His face, turn from the wicked ways. If you turn from the wicked ways, it's like leaving the sugar out of the cookie. It's not going to be the right product. God's not obligated to give you what you want. He's obligated to deal with Him, to deal with you as you deal with Him according to His Word. And His Word doesn't say you go banging on God's door telling Him what you want. You're going to do it, Lord, or else. You owe me. Yeah, you know what God owed you? He owed you eternal flame. And you know what He gave you? The blood of His Son. Eternal life. Tell me what God owes you again. Tell me what He owes us. You know what else He's given us? The recipe. We see the people, Israel, they're like a mess, just like the United States of America, just like we are at times. The prayer. Solomon said, please hear their prayer. Please meet with us here. I wish everybody here would pray that. Meet with us at church when we go to church on Sunday morning. Meet with us at Golden Corral Wednesday as the preacher preaches on gluttony for an hour and a half before we eat. Amen. I won't do that to you. But meet with us at the Golden Corral. Amen. Meet with us wherever we gather together. Meet with us. Show up and change us for your honor and your glory. It's about seeking your face, Lord. I want to glorify you. I don't care if the whole world's upset with us if you're happy. And if God's happy with you, there are going to be some people upset with you. You're going to have people upset one way or the other. You might as well be pleasing God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody's upset with you and you're doing right. Praise God. the prayer, the punishment, the promise, the provisional blessing. Look at Solomon's plea. Let's jump back over to chapter number 6, verse 40. I'll be done here in just a minute, Lord willing. Solomon's plea. After all this prayer, all this begging God to forgive the people and be merciful to people, Solomon says this in verse number 40, chapter number 6 of 2 Chronicles. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. The plea. You know what my plea is to God today, right this second? That God's eyes would be open, that He would see, and His ears would be attent, that He would hear the prayers of the people here and answer in His will. People seeking His face, humbly praying, turning from their sin, and asking God to hear from us here. Here. Now, I understand that you can talk to God everywhere, and you can talk to God anywhere, and you should. My wife talks a lot when we drive, because I drive. She talks to the Lord a lot. She prays the Nehemiah prayer. I don't know why. I mean, I'm like Mario Andretti, but better. At least in my mind. In her mind, it's like Mario Kart or something. I don't know. But anyway, it's a... If God would just meet with us. If God would just meet with us. I think He's met with us today through that book. I hope He spoke to everybody here. But sometimes when He speaks to you, it's not, hey, I want to fix your furnace. I want to give you a new house. I want to give you a fat checkbook. I want to give you a repentant heart. Because all those things in that recipe depend on a repentant heart. You know what a repentant heart does? It's a change of mind that changes your heart, changes your direction. And when you go to God with absolutely no desire to change you to better yourself for Him, or for you to be better for Him, it's worthless. It's pointless. But He gives you the recipe. Solomon's plea is, hear and see us. My job, if they're preaching false doctrine down the road, I'll tell you about it. If I hear about it, don't go there. My job is to pray for Gateway Baptist Church people. Your job is to pray for me, for each other, and pray to God that He'll hear us. Or answer our prayers. And I know we've got people in here that pray that God, they get past the ceiling, amen, because God answers prayers all the time. He does all the time here. Praise God for that. But there's the plea. You know what the potential is? The potential is for God to do marvelous, mighty things in you, on you, and through you, and through us. A little church, when I say little church, I don't mean like anything to do with the quality. I'm talking about the quantity. When you have a smaller church, especially a rural smaller church, there's a danger in becoming comfortably uncomfortable. Where you're like, well, you know, that's just the way it is. Nobody ever gets saved here. And, you know. I got to lead a girl of the Lord a couple weeks ago. Praise the Lord. It wasn't here. But I got to lead her to the Lord. There's still people out there wanting to get saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was begging God, you know, let me lead somebody to the Lord. I mean, I'm getting dry. I need some help here. But the potential is to go, well, this is just the way it is. How are you going to see people get saved? You know what? If God's blessing Israel, He's wanting to give them all these physical things. You know what He wants to give you? He wants to give you fruit to your account. He wants to see you lead somebody to Jesus Christ or get them on the road that way. Amen? I mean, I might be talking to somebody that's never led somebody to the Lord once. But I'll tell you what, when that Bible talks about them addicting themselves to the ministry, if you do it once, you won't get over it. You won't get over it. But look, if you're not able to go knocking on doors house to house and you're not able to do some of these things, you're able to pray, you're able to hand out tracts. We talked about different ways to hand out tracts. And you're able to invite people. I had somebody ask me last week, you know, October's Pastor Appreciation Month. I'd probably appreciate a new one. But anyway, you're stuck with me until at least the end of October until you guys vote me out. No, but I'm saying, what would you want us to do for Pastor Appreciation Month? I'll tell you what. Let's make it Savior Appreciation Month and invite somebody to church, and I'm going to try to preach them out of hell. How about that? Invite somebody to church. Invite somebody that's lost. You ain't never going to see a lost person walk this aisle and get saved if nobody lost comes to church. Amen? And most lost people won't go to church unless you invite them over and over and over again sometimes. Unless you tell them there's a rock concert. We ain't having that, so you're going to have to invite them. Amen? Our rock's not like that rock. Our rock's Jesus Christ. But wouldn't it be exciting to see some new people that know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, anew? Somebody had never known him before. Oh, they knew of him. I was talking to a guy in the store the other day. He had the locks. I attempted to call him dreadlocks, but he was a Jew. Probably wouldn't appreciate that. They're locks, you know. This guy was definitely a Jew. Hand him a track. He goes, "What is this?" That's a Bible tract about Jesus Christ. He goes, "I don't need this. What is it?" And I said, "It's about Jesus Christ." He goes, "Well, I don't need this." I said, "Oh, you're Jewish?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "So is Jesus Christ." And him and his wife bust up laughing. And it wasn't like a sarcastic, it was kind of a nervous, funny laugh because they wouldn't expect that. I said, "So is Jesus Christ." And he goes, "Oh, I know that." And I said, "Do you know this? It's about the blood." I said, "Just like in Exodus, it's about the blood. It's about the blood atonement that was made, and it was Jesus Christ." And he walks around the corner and he disappears. He handed me the tract back, wouldn't take it. I'm getting ready to walk out of the store, and he's walking down the aisle. He goes, "Hey, friend, have a good weekend." I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, line me up again. I'm going to give him a track. One of these days, he's going to take it. I'll slip it in his wife's purse or cart. What? They'll probably think I've picked in her pocket or something to arrest me. A Baptist preacher arrest me. But anyway, the Lord will work that out. Somebody else will get to it. I don't. But wouldn't it be great to see somebody get born again? Maybe you're here today and I don't know, you've been going to sleep, waking up, going to sleep, waking up, going to sleep, waking up, never really went to sleep thinking, "I know I'm going to heaven." I'm glad I can do that. The sooner the gooder, amen. Let's get out of here. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But you can know for sure, that Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." It says you can know, not guess, that you have eternal, not partial, temporary, but you can know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's written these things so you can believe on the name of the Son of God and know that you're going to heaven. So how do you know? I got a Bible. And the Holy Spirit, through those words, told me, "Hey, you're lost and you're going to burn in hell and you need Jesus Christ. He died, was buried, rose again. He shed his blood for you. And you call on him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you have eternal life." You can know it before you leave this place today. You say, "Well, we've all been here 1,000 times." I don't care if you've been here 150 million times. If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. And when you go to hell, it's not a temporary thing. There's not going to be any retrial. There's not going to be any mistrial. There's not going to be any pardon. There's not going to be time out for good behavior. You go to hell and you'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And the rich man, you'll be down there at the rich man and he'll be looking for that spot of water he was looking for in Luke 16, and you'll be going, "Oh, I wish I had that too." And you can together, you can harmonize in your pain, but you'll never get out of hell. You'll be there forever. Or you can call on Jesus Christ and go to heaven forever. See, hell's real. The conviction of knowing that you're a sinner is real. People play games and act like it's not, but you know you're a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness applied to my account, I'd still split hell wide open. But He gave me atonement through the blood of Christ. He gave me that sacrifice. He gave me eternal life. I don't have to worry about going to hell. You can go to bed tonight not worrying about hell. Amen. Amen. Solomon's plea says, "Hear and see this people." And the potential is for God to use His people in a mighty way. But it's easy, especially in a small church, to say, "Well, God's not doing anything." Kind of like we talked about in Sunday school, you're built for battle. If you're saved, you're built for battle. And whether you like it or not, you know, the people that go to war for this country, they don't like being in battle. Some of them do. I mean, there's some crazy ones out there. They do. They get into it. But most of them don't. But you know what they've trained for? Battle. You know what's ingrained in them? Battle. You know what you're saved for? Battle. "Well, I'm saved to go to heaven." No, you're saved to battle. You're saved to produce fruit. And when you go out and try to produce fruit, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. Because when you go hand somebody a tract, the devil's right there going, "Hey, don't take that, don't listen to them. And he's whispering in your ear, you're going to embarrass yourself, you're going to do this, you're going to say something wrong. They're going to be more lost when you leave, amen. They're going to hell anyway. Give them the track. If they're going to heaven, you're not going to get them unsaved, amen. Might even fire them up. I gave a track to a girl the other day, and she said, I'll get into that story some other time, but she said, I know Jesus Christ. I said, I had two tracks because there was somebody else in her car. I said, give them somebody else that needs them. I wouldn't take it back. You know what I figure? That might be the first time, only time she ever hands a track out. She's going to hand that track out, amen. But it's easy to think, it's just the way it is. When God wants to do something mighty and powerful, not in Gateway Baptist Church, not about this building, but in you and in us as a group. So if you want to do something for your pastor, forget me and remember Jesus Christ all October. I mean, pray for me. But how about Jesus Christ Appreciation Month? Start asking people to come to church. Don't give them unexpected or crazy expectations. Don't tell them, our preacher. You know what I tell them? You can get the truth. And that's what this world needs, is truth. And I'll do the best I can to give it to them. And by the grace of God, we'll see some people show up. Invite people you know are lost. Invite people that hate God. I don't care. They can sit there and squirm in their seat all they want. We're going to fire at them if you get them in. And see what God does. But don't forget the cookies. Amen? Don't forget the cookies. Humble yourself. Pray. Do it to glorify Him. Seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways and ask God to show up and do something mighty in Gateway Baptist Church. We're here. And we're here for Him. I want Him to be here for Him, too. It's about Him.